Hi, this is Grigori and Chris from the Enterprise Library team, and we're going to just do a quick demo of what's included in our first drop of the Enterprise Library Silverlight Integration Pack. This is the end of our first two development iterations, and here's what's included in the drop. So we've ported the validation application block, so it works on Silverlight now. We also have a new XAML-based configuration source that we're using, and we've enabled asynchronous configuration loading. For the validation block scenarios, the common asks included the validation rules based on the external configuration, validation using attributes, programmatic validation, cross-field validation, self-validation, basically all the goodness that we had in the desktop version of the validation application block, we have it in the Silverlight pack. The full set of built-in validators, and also support for implementing iData error info. And that's what we plan to show. So Chris, okay. Why don't we switch right to the
switch over to solution. Visual Studio here.
Yeah.
So I have a small Silverlight demo project. Let me just run this so you can see what it does. And there we go again. This being Enterprise Library, we went with a Starfleet theme here. Those of you not in the U.S. probably won't get this joke, but trust me, it's really, really funny.
Yes.
so what we've got here is a control panel for the transporter. We need to maintain our ISO 9001 certification, so we have to list what we're transporting. So we're transporting a security officer.
And in that planet, that's exactly the way they spell.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Boom. So this is just using standard Silverlight validation. We're getting the validation pop-ups. Okay. Oh, still red. Well, latitude must be between minus 90 and 90 degrees. So there's two different sources of validation. You'll see where that's coming from in a second. So let me just put a bunch of valuable numbers here. We've also got the little slider thingies from the show, but I don't have a multi-touch screen, so just trust me. And then when they're out of range, then we get an error message there. Otherwise, yeah, imagine we just sent Grigori to Aldebaran. Okay, so how does this work? So this is doing a bunch of different things here. So let's start with the initialization. Enterprise Library is heavily configuration driven, and we've had a lot of asks for people to be able to download their configuration as a loose file. In order to support that, we really need to have an asynchronous configuration story. So the way that is done in here is in my main page view model. What we've done is we've added a hook the event-driven async pattern. Enterprise Library Container is a static entry point for getting all of our stuff in Enterprise Library. So you can call it configure async, pass it the URI you want to download your XAML from. When this download is completed, this Enterprise Library Configuration Completed event will fire, and then you can go out and the event args can tell you whether it was either configured successfully or there was an error. Mm-hmm. In this case, I'm actually faking it a little bit and putting an extra sleep in there, simply because since I'm downloading from the local machine, it would have downloaded far too quickly to convince anybody it was actually async. So that's what's going on. In practice, though, you would typically have to wait a few seconds to actually get this. You cannot use any of the entlib stuff until this event has fired. Because until then, Enterprise Library is not configured. This is a fairly straightforward 80% case. There are other options if you need to be more complicated, but we leave that up to the individual users if you need to be have more special cases. So let's look at the validation part. So this application is written in the model view model pattern. Yeah,
MVVM.
That's it. So we actually have. Let's start at the actual model. So we have a bunch of properties, latitude, longitude, altitude, transport content. This alpha, beta, gamma is our the values for those three sliders. Now here we're using our validation attributes.
Mm-hmm.
So these are marked up. So this is where, remember that you know, latitude must be between minus 90 and 90 degrees. Well, here's where that came from. Similarly, got a range for longitude and altitude, because we don't want to beam somebody underground or into the middle of the air and watch them drop. Although that could be fun.
And here you're just using a couple of the out of the
yes.
the provided validators that we have in the box.
Right.
But the list I showed on one of the slides, and you can use any of those if you...
And you can also use the, if you're already using, for example, the RIA services stuff, or validators that are included in system data annotations. Our validators also are inherited from the data annotation validator, so you can use our validators anywhere you use those. You can also use their validators that gets picked up by our API. Mm-hmm. This also demonstrates our use of what's called self-validation. The idea is when you're validating this object as a whole, it will call this method and then go through and calculate. I'm just doing a little test. The math is not all that important, but then it will, if the test fails, then we'll actually report that transport parameters out of range error.
Yeah, and typically you would use the self-validation when you have more complicated validation rules and your own
and
validation logic that you want to
In this case, we're actually using it for cross-field validation because we have three different fields, independent numbers, and it's the combination of them that determines whether the object as a whole is valid or invalid.
Very nice.
So let's take it up a level to the transport controls view model. Okay, this one wraps a transporter model. Okay, it's also using a validator. This is just using the Enterprise Library API to get a validator for the transporter model. And I'll go into that in a second. Okay, we have a few more transport content. Here's the properties that are bound to the view. Notice I don't have any attributes here. These are actually the configuration for validation for these properties is actually set in configuration.
That we will look at later.
I was going to look at it now.
Oh, right away.
Okay.
Perfect.
So for those who used Intlib before, here's an example of a fairly normal Enterprise Library configuration file. Normally, you'd open up the config tool, and you can see we've got our validation configuration section, blah, 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 blah. This requires the system.configuration stuff for the desktop CLR, which, of course, does not exist in Silverlight. So what we've done is we've come up with a XAML projection, I guess you'd call it, of the configuration that ends up in the .NET config file. And here's the current form of that. Looks actually very similar to the config. And don't mind the blue squigglies. The file is actually in my web project, so it can't find the Silverlight assemblies that would allow IntelliSense to display properly. So that's why it's giving me those warnings. But here, you know, we wrap our configuration in a resource dictionary. So the plan is that as we port more blocks, you can just drop all the config for your blocks into a single resource dictionary, download it later. And we have the type reference. So here's the type that we're validating. Mm-hmm. And then we have the interval process for the transport contents. You know, this is basically at least one character. You know, latitude. Here we're using string lengths that must be given. And it must be convertible to a double. Longitude must be given, convertible to a double. So this is why we got that error message that changed when we put the overly large number in there. First level validation is actually running this on the view model, saying that it must be there and must be convertible to the number. Only if that passes do we then run the extra validation
on the model
itself, which is where that other error came out.
Very nice. And for those people who may be scared by all this, you know, XAML stuff here, yes, for now, Chris, you use this, you coded this manually,
yes,
right?
Yes, I wrote this manually.
Yeah.
It actually...
For the demo.
I originally put it in the Silverlight project where it was finding all of the appropriate namespaces, so I got XAML IntelliSense, which made life easier writing that. However, what we are doing is we are currently working on a conversion tool so that you can use our config tool to write your .NET desktop configuration and then run the config tool, the conversion tool on it, and it will spit out the appropriate XAML for the Silverlight.
And right now, even though it's in the draw, but it's not ready for
it's prime time,
so
it's still rough.
Yeah. So, but expect in one of the future demos that will showcase how that conversion tool can be used, so that the authoring experience for the configuration is much easier.
Yep. So going back to my view model, and actually let me bring up the XAML for that page here. Take a moment to come up. If I we scroll down a little, okay, here. So I've got my my bindings here to the view model. Also notice, you know, I've got two-way binding and my validates on data errors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is hooking up iData error info. So here's the error property. So implementing iData error info. So what we've got here is we're using this data error info helper. And okay. So let's look at how we implemented iData error info in the transport controls view model. Now, the iData error info itself is a fairly small surface area, but it's a little complicated to build. So here's the two methods. So we're relying on this error info helper object. Now, we need to do the standard get setters. I've got this content store type. Basically, all that it's doing is this property store. Actually, it's the property store type, which is one I wrote. And all it does is wrap a value and then call a delegate when the value changes. In my case here, for each of the positions, I'm calling this update position property. Which we will look at it, we will call is property is valid, which then actually goes and runs the validation. And this runs the view model level validation, which I can show you here. We're just turning around and calling the data error info helper. And then if it succeeds, we're calling the validate model method, which is actually using the validate API of the validation block. So the helper is a combination of a custom class and something that's included in NetLib itself. So the helper is got this data error info helper came out of the validation block. What this does is it implements essentially iData error info, and it will then go out, find the validator for the property you're validating, and run the API and return the validation results. We need to combine that with the validation results from the model validation. So that's why I have this extra helper here. All it's doing is it's letting you combine the messages from the VAB itself with whatever other messages have been added manually, in my case through the call the validation block through to the underlying transport model. And that's pretty much it. The rest of it is just some of the goop to reduce noise and repeated code with updating the validation and kicking off the validation of the inner model. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think that's what we wanted to show today.
Yep.
And let's just switch back to the...
Back to the slides.
Yeah, and just articulate a few other scenarios that we're working on implementing and that we will demonstrate in the future. So the cross-tier validation, where you may be using the validation block on the server side, and then you would want some of the errors to propagate over to the client, maybe, and get it surface up through the Silverlight surface. So
we're looking at integrating with how and where to integrate with RIA services.
With RIA services, exactly. The support for rule sets, well, it's already there. We haven't demoed it, but it's there. And one other thing for you to expect is the config conversion tool, and we'll show the usage of that in the future demo. In the meantime, please take a look at what's in the drop right now. Try it out. Please provide your feedback. Feel free to post it to the discussion forum or just email me directly. We really need your feedback now. This is really good time. So we still have time to fix things, to implement potentially other scenarios that are available to you. So this is the call to action for you. And here's the list of the resources specifically to this specific to this drop. So you see the link where you can get it from CodePlex. We'll also post the source code for this example, the transporter launcher.
control. You control it.
Controller, transport controller. And then you also see the NPLIP 5 Silverlight Integration Pack homepage, where we'll be putting new stuff out there. Thanks. Have fun.
Thanks again.